How many of you are destined to be celibate? Rhetorical question. You don't have to raise your hands. How many of you are destined to be celibate? Many years ago, I asked that same question, and I had people answer it by raising their hands. And maybe 24 people out of a church this size raised their hands. But actually, every single person in this church, every single person should raise their hands. Because your destiny in this world and in the next world are not to be married. You will not be married. Now, I'm going to be talking about marriage, but not the typical way of marriage. Actually, I'm going to be talking about friendship. Jesus today, let me back up. If you notice in the Old Testament reading from the book of Maccabees, the whole issue is that even in the ancient world, the Jews, or a good number of Jews, believed in the resurrection of the dead. There was a faction in the Jewish tradition that denied that there was any such thing as the resurrection of the dead. That's why you heard the Sadducees. Sadducees was the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the two main religious parties. Remember, in first century Judaism, there was no separation of church and state. That's a modern concept. And so the Sadducees were fairly powerful group of people, but they denied that there was any resurrection of the dead. So they figure they're going to quote the Old Testament, and they're going to trap Jesus by giving this thing of seven brothers marrying the same woman. And of course, Jesus just, it's never a good idea to challenge Jesus. It's just not. Okay? And Jesus just wipes them out by talking about the resurrection of the dead. Now, one of the things, this is just a little preamble. I want you to understand that when we die, we do not become angels. Angels are different beings. They are non-corporeal beings. Jesus was saying, like angels, meaning we don't marry or are given in marriage. And it's very interesting because this has been something that I have been very attuned to because of my status as a celibate man, as a man who's not married and has made a commitment not to marry. And for me, it has been an extremely wonderful experience. I love the experience of having been celibate. Sometimes say, this is a joke, but it's kind. Well, whenever I do weddings, and my apologies to the weddings that I have done lately, but whenever I do weddings and I'm walking back to the sacristy from here, in my head, what I'm hearing is a song that goes, boom, boom, boom. Another one bites the dust. Anyway, that's a joke. It's a joke. I promise it's a joke. A couple whose wedding I just did last week is looking at me. But here's my point. My experience compared to the culture. Our culture has projected onto marriage almost every hope of earthly happiness. Almost every hope of earthly happiness. Especially young women, but also young men. Young women live within in an atmosphere in which they dream about their wedding day from the time they're little, what they will be like, and the dresses and the decorations and the whole thing. It's almost like, you know, it's projected onto a screen, and unconsciously they are saying, unless I find the guy that's going to make me happy, I will not reach the full potential of what it means to be a human being. And so we idealize this marriage. And I've seen women and men too, that as they're getting older and they have not found that perfect soulmate, which, by the way, it's a whole bunch of horse trash, okay? There's no such thing as your, just a parenthetical thing, this whole thing of a soulmate, you know, that God somehow made one person for you, and here you are, and somehow you're going to have to find your way to this one person. That's just not true, okay? And of course, you know, how many times I get people, and it just makes me want to pull my hair out, whatever there is. But, you know, they pray and pray, and they're going out with somebody, and they go, oh God, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? The one? Okay, because there's only one. And they say yes. And then, of course, you know, the marriage goes sour, you know, 5 years later. Oh, I guess it wasn't the one. Anyway, but notice that the background principle is that everything is focused on my marriage relationship with this ideal person that is to be there. And advertising, it goes on to that. Maybe not marriage, because these days a lot of people are just living together and stuff like that, but you're still... The principle is still the same. They're looking for the one woman, the beautiful wife that I will have someday. And of course, the correlative or the adjoining fantasy of having a family and a home and all of this. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. Except that in American culture, and a lot of Western culture, we find no idea of any happiness outside of that fantasy. And so you have people living in culture, in this culture and many other cultures, for whom marriage and finding the one becomes an obsession. An obsession. I have seen men and women literally out there looking for somebody. Okay, and I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is that sometimes the obsession and the anxiety is so deep that it drives people into making decisions about life partners that they don't realize are being influenced by their anxiety to, quote, lose out in life. Now, and by the way, the culture is constantly in advertising, in movies, in romantic novels, and all kinds of things. That ideal is projected with intensity. So much so that you find that people think, how can I live if I don't, my life has been wasted if I don't marry. Now, it's a very curious thing for me, because before I became a priest, I made a promise of celibacy that I would not marry for the rest of my life. But think about it. If the cultural ideal is true, then I really screwed up my life. Okay? And a lot of times people think, oh, you priests, oh, you poor things. You must be lonely. You know, you just didn't fulfill, you know, you don't have that common union that is experienced in marriage. And I resent that. I resent that. Because, not personally to you if you think that, but I resent that. Why? Because I am a very happy celibate man. I'm a very happy celibate man. But you know why? Because the whole notion that marriage is the end all and be all of human intimacy is wrong. It is not. Think about it. If that were true, then Jesus himself did not experience the fullness of humanity. Because he didn't marry. Whoops, I guess he did not experience human intimacy the way that it was meant to be. And so for me, I have found, from going from my own experience, that that is exactly wrong. Now, why did the church ask me to be celibate? The church asked me to be celibate for two reasons, one practical and one theological. The practical one. The practical one is that the church hierarchy wants to be able to send priests where they are needed and not have to worry about uprooting families as it goes along. And it wants to be able to move people around. Now, a lot of people talk about these days, or do you think the church will ever allow you, Father, to get married? The answer is no. Okay? Now, that's not, some of you may have been hearing about that, there's a synod, meaning a meeting of bishops in Rome that has to do a lot with what's called it's being called the Amazon Synod, which is, they're discussing the issue of priests in Central America, in the Amazon region, because there are so few priests and people are being deprived of the Eucharist. And so there's talk of ordaining married men, not letting priests get married, but ordaining married men. Okay. And I'm personally for it. I have no problem. We have a married man who normally celebrates this Mass. Okay. Father Scott. Father Scott, if you didn't know it, used to be an Episcopal priest. The Pope made an exception, and any Episcopal priest that wanted to become a Catholic could, and even if he was still married, he would remain married. So that is not strange. So I do not find anything strange. There's a lot of controversy going on about whether that should happen or not. But that's the apostles were married. So that's just a rule of the church that can be accepted at any given time. Now, in terms of the church allowing priests to get married, forget it. Forget it. People say, well, why? And I say, think about this. Okay, I want you to imagine that all of a sudden the church says, okay, Father Mario, you can get married. Okay. Where am I going to meet women? Can you imagine me dating some of you? Okay. Dating is messy. Messy. Can you imagine after the first breakup with somebody in the congregation? All over the place. Okay? So the church is saying, uh-uh. And even after a person, for example, a deacon is a married man. But if a deacon's wife dies, he may not marry again. Because the church does not want its clergy dating. That's the problem. Right? It's messy. So, for me, life as a celibate has been wonderful. Why? Because of what Jesus said today. You see, the basic unit of happiness is not marriage. Wonderful it is. But marriage is only an earthly reality, a temporary earthly reality. The ultimate reality is friendship. Friendship is the only thing that lasts into heaven. The only thing. Now, people might say, does that mean I'm not going to get to see my wife, my husband? No. But think about what marriage is all about as an institution. And by the way, it is an institution. It's not the couple's personal property. Okay? Marriage, Jesus was very clear. He said, from the beginning of creation, not from the time he came, not from the time you get religion, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, what God has united, no man may divide. Marriage does not belong to the couple, and it does not belong to the state. Marriage existed long before the Supreme Court. Marriage existed as a part of the structure of being human. And when death comes, marriage is over. It is not friendship is over, but marriage is over. That's why, parenthetically, you will always see that no religion that I know of, except some wacky liberal Protestants, are accepting any redefinition of marriage. The moment, by the way, the moment that you take marriage and you say, well, the state has the right to redefine it, it's up for a vote. It's up for a vote. And right now you can say, well, we can allow gay marriage. Okay. Then what about those people? So we can define, the state can redefine marriage, right? Okay, so what if we have a group, say a group of five people that want to have a group marriage? Why shouldn't they? Why are you imposing your views on marriage on me? So why can't five of us get married? Well, what if I want to marry my dog? Okay, well, and then you go on and on and on. What keeps... People will say, well, it's democracy, Father. But yes, democracy's fine. It really is okay, but not that great. Because think about it. I always like to say, do you know what democracy is? Imagine five animals having a vote on what to have for lunch. Okay? Only three are wolves and two are sheep. It's not going to go well for the sheep. Okay? So there are some things that you can't, that are not up for a vote. They are designed by the Creator as part of the structure of creation. Marriage is one of those things. And we have no right to mess with it. So some things in life that are pre-programmed, we do not get to decide the structure of reality. Okay? If you get an acorn, for example, that acorn looks like about like big. It you can't develop into a flower. It's going to develop into an oak tree. It's pre-programmed. And you can't put it in a bucket of paint and say, I'm going to grow an oak tree. You can't do that. It's pre-programmed. Okay? We don't get to decide. I don't care how many people vote on it. By the way, that's why we have the feast of Christ the King. Because fairly, Jesus does not care whether you vote for him or not. He is the Lord of all creation. So, back to marriage. For me as a celibate man, The reason I have enjoyed being celibacy is because what all of us want is to love and to be loved. That's what all of us want. All of us want somebody to be intimate with. Now please understand, whenever you say the word intimate, people immediately think sex. Intimacy has something but not much to do with sex. Okay? There's a lot of sex going on in our society that is not intimate. Okay? Because the word intimate, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I can't let a homily go without giving you one etymology. Okay? The etymology of the word intimate is in, which is in, and timid meaning fear. In temore, in fear. Why? Because each one of us lives with a wall of protection around the most vulnerable parts of us. And when you let someone in behind the wall of your fears, it can be very vulnerable and hurt you. But you need to let someone in there in order for you to be loved intimately. And every single human being needs that. I need that. You need that. I need to give it and I need to receive it. I need to give it and to receive it. I still remember when I was a young priest, I started having a relationship with a woman who happened, a very nice relationship with a woman, and it wasn't sexual at all. It was a very deep friendship. And I still remember talking, I was good friends with one of my ex-girlfriends in Denver. And I was all worried, oh God, what if people talk? What if people talk? What if we'll say if I'm hanging around with a woman? And I'll never forget this, my friend in Denver said, she was my ex-girlfriend in Denver. She said, Dad, no, Mario, she didn't call me father. She said, no, Mario, look, if you have good friendships with a woman, they're going to say maybe you're running around. But say you don't have any friendships with women and you just have friendship with guys. They're going to say you're gay. Okay? And if you don't have friendships with men or women and you buy yourself a dog, they're going to say that you're a cold SOB, son of beauty, by the way, and they're going to say that you're a cold SOB and you can't have any intimacy with anybody and you have to get yourself a dog. So pick your poison. People are going to talk, no matter what. And so, ultimately, what I did and I have done throughout my life is I've had intimate friends. Friends that I love and friends that love me. And you know that. And so why? Because that is what Jesus God intended from the beginning. The second reason that I am celibate for the church is because celibacy is considered as a sign of your future. This is your future. Okay? This is it. Okay? Some of you are celibate here. Not necessarily by choice. Some are choice and some are not. Not just priests. But all of us will be there. What survives? What survives is friendship. If you're married, to be best friends with your spouse will be your greatest achievement. What will survive is not the marriage bond. Listen, when you do the marriage vows, I will love you and honor you until death do us part or all the days of my life. It's over. But what's not over is friendship. You will, as people say, will I know my spouse? Will I know? What is the quality of life about heaven? You will know the people that you love, and that the union between the persons that you love and you will be intense, more intense than here in this world. Marriage is for, as a friendship or as a union, the church says it's for two reasons. One is for the procreation of children, and two, for the closeness of the couple. OK, Okay, the closeness of the couple can be achieved by any human being. You don't need marriage for that. You can live with anybody you want. Okay? You can sleep with anyone you want. Sleep. Doesn't mean, I mean, don't I want to sleep with you. No. I want to snore with you. That's fine. Okay? And so you don't need it for the intimacy of the couple. What do you need it for? To give a stable home for children to enter into that relationship. And so if, by the way, you don't have to have children, but you have to be open to children. You have to be open to it, no matter if you get married at 80 and 85, okay? I'll never forget, I did a wedding when I was a young priest, and of a man who was 88 years old and a woman who was 86. And they were getting married, and it says in the marriage ritual, you know, will you accept children lovingly from God? And it says, on top of it, it says, optional. You know, optional. And I was a young priest, and I said, will you accept children lovingly from God? And the guy looks at me and says, well, I guess so, Father, yeah. Sure, whatever. Okay. But that's the whole point of marriage. The whole point of marriage is to establish a union in which, if God wishes, to give you the possibility of having a family with children. But what's the future? The future is friendship. So my advice, if you care to receive it, develop your intimate friendships. Make sure. Now some people, and this is sad, but some people are in marriages in which they are not friends. Develop other friendships. Everybody needs to develop intimate friendships because your central need is to love and to be loved. If you're young and if you're looking to get married, here's my advice. Don't look for it. Tell God that you'd like to be. But stop living your life hunting for your husband or your wife. Stop it. Live your life fully, entering into common union. Listen to the word, communion. Entering into common union with deep friendships with the people that God gives around you. And if someday a man or a woman comes into your life and that turns out to be the person you want to marry, and great. Make sure to be engaged for a good long time. This whole thing of falling in love, and therefore we are going, I can't tell you, the parade in my office of broken marriages. So we fell in love, and for the next 3 years it went fine until it went dead. Okay? So engagement is for that. This whole notion of, I saw my soulmate across the hall from me, we're going to get married. That's just bunk. Just bunk. It doesn't work like that. Work on your friendships. Work on the people that love you and that you love. Ask God. If you want to be married someday and you want a family, ask God. Say, I would like to do that. But remember the way Jesus ended it. Your will be done. He knows what is good for you and your happiness. He knows. And the last thing that's not good for, the thing that's not good for you is to spend your life hunting for a partner. It doesn't work. So, closing, I'm going to bring this plane down. Okay? Closing. Prepare yourself. How do you prepare yourself for heaven? By developing your intimate friendships. Not Facebook friends. Intimate friends. Face-to-face friends. Develop common union with people that love you and that you love. If that happens to be your husband and wife, great. If it doesn't happen to be, still good. Go looking for people who love you and that you can love intimately. That, my friends, is the future of every single person sitting here. God bless.